This episode is sponsored by Jimmy Beans Wool, an online yarn shop. And Kizzy, you just recently had an experience with Jimmy Beans Wool.
I did. I was surfing through Instagram and they have they're calling it the Yarn Maid's Tale knit along. It's a mystery knit along in honor of The Handmaid's Tale season 2.
Yeah, it's coming out right before my birthday.
Yeah. And so you get the yarn and then you get the pattern clues sent to you.
You don't know what you're making yet, but you ordered the yarn.
It's like red and black gray yarn.
Of course.
And it's going to be a cowl. And it's going to have like a secret message in it.
A secret message from The Handmaid's Tale.
I'm super excited. And so I'm sitting there.
I know you are.
I was on there talking to my son. I'm like, hold, please. I need to go buy some yarn.
So you follow Jimmy Beans Wool on Instagram
and
you saw this and now you can't live without it and the yarn's on the way.
Yeah. They said, like the ad said, or their post said, you are powerless to resist. And I am. So.
Well, that's why Jimmy Beans Wool is very fun.
Yeah, and it's not just it's an online yarn store, but they have like make-alongs and knit-alongs and other kind of theme things going on.
Getting people involved.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and they have really good customer service, live chat 7 days a week. They're always happy to help with any questions you might have, from color and yarn selection to customer support inquiries. And they love Madeline Tosh.
Yes.
It's a great place to go for Madeline Tosh.
Yeah.
People ask me all the time, like, what is an online store, a yarn store that you trust?
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Beans Wool is definitely one of them. Because they have such a great selection, their website's very easy to navigate and good customer service.
Yep. That's all you need.
So now, are you going to post pictures of your knit along so we can see what you're
going to
actually... You bought all this yarn, you don't know what you're making yet.
I know, I've never done a mystery knit along, so I'm excited. And plus, watching Handmaid's Tale is kind of stressful, so I
need the knitting.
Knitting to help me relax.
Okay, well, we will have a link to Jimmy Beans Wool in the show notes, and thank you to Jimmy Beans Wool for sponsoring this episode. Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, please email it to podcast@verypink.com and tell us where you're from. And we're going to talk about things and link to things and maybe have pictures to things. We don't know. We don't know yet.
We don't know.
We'll know when the episode's over. But if you'd like to see those things, you can go to verypink.com and click the podcast tab at the top of the page, and you will see the show notes for episode 91 there. You like how I slipped in the episode number?
Yeah.
And every time we have to be surprised. What? 91?
91.
But 91 is a week late.
Yes.
Because we almost died of the plague.
Exactly.
Thank you, everyone, for being patient with us and all the kind wishes for our recovery, because Casey and I were both sick with a nasty cold virus.
And it wasn't even like the same thing because we hadn't seen each other.
No, we didn't. You got it first. Your family got it first. Mm-hmm. But I hadn't seen you, so you couldn't have given it to me.
Yeah.
But it was the same cold, because it was a lot of coughing and it lasted a long time.
Yeah.
And my voice is still recovering a bit, and I'm kind of holding back a cough right now while I'm speaking. Yeah, it was bad. Well, for me, you had just been in Bermuda and got back and got hit with this cold.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I had emergency oral surgery. I had a tooth pulled. And then 2 days later, I started kind of feeling lousy. And I thought, well, of course I feel lousy. I just had surgery on my mouth. But then within a couple of days, it was obvious, like, no, you don't cough and sneeze when you have oral surgery. So that was, I slept for 10 days.
Yeah.
I barely did anything.
It was a full 7 days before I felt better.
Yeah.
Like, even like,
but then even like day before yesterday, you went to the gym and you said that you wore yourself out going to the gym.
Yeah. Monday pushed me back another day. So yeah, it was rough. I hadn't been that sick in 10 years.
I hardly ever get sick. It was this time last year that I was suffering from allergies. I'm allergic to flowering trees.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the time of year.
Everything's green right
now. Yeah. And so, you know, we're getting over this and we both have allergies like that. It's not helping, right?
Yeah.
So I was coughing and sneezing this time last year. I remember because I picked up Elby, the puppy, this time last year. I remember that whole time. But so that's what I thought was going on. But no, we had a nasty cold virus. And then people, I had to post on Facebook and Instagram that we were missing an episode because I people were wondering, where's the episode this week? And people were saying, yeah, I got the same cold virus. It's a 2 week long cold virus. It's 10 days. And I guess we were probably seven days into it at that point. And I was like, no, but that's what it turned out to be.
Yeah, it was a full week for me. And that usually within 3 or 4 days, I'm like better and up moving around. But this was not.
Yeah, usually what happens is like, you feel the worst of it, you know, for 3-4 days, and then you feel yourself coming out of it. It's not the way it worked. And we fully intended to record a podcast last week, and it's like, I can't. My voice is shot. I can't stop coughing. You were feeling better by then.
Yeah, we were a week ahead, but we had fevers, and poor Donovan was sick on our spring break, so it was kind of a bummer.
Your kids missed a week of school, didn't they?
Cormac did. So we had a week of school off. We got home. And he took another week off, and he was so sick. And I didn't want to push him. He probably could have pushed and gone on Friday, but I was like, there's no point. I don't want to give this to other kids.
No, that was smart.
So, but now we're paying for it. He has to make up a lot of work.
Yeah, he's a smart kid, though.
But he's got it.
He's fine. He's got it. Okay, well, we are well on the road recovery. Yes. We're not going to get sick for another year.
No, I started taking probiotics, and I'm
taking probiotics, too.
An elderberry extract is supposed to
What is that for?
Like, if you feel a cold coming on, if you take it, supposedly it helps. I'm like, whatever, I'll try anything.
Whatever, I'll do anything.
I'm never going to be this sick again.
Walking across hot coals, whatever it takes. Yeah, I had to take probiotics because part of the oral surgery was I was on antibiotics. And so just compounding all of this is that I stripped my body of all good bacteria. And so my stomach was never feeling quite right.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I always try to do it when we travel, like, boosted up a bit before
That's
we
a good
go,
idea.
And I had forgotten. So,
did you have fun in Bermuda?
We did. It was so beautiful. I mean, like, and the people there are so nice and so well dressed, and just the children.
Really?
Yeah, like we were on the public bus, and these kids got off the bus or got out of school, and they're.
That's HelloFresh delivering. No kidding. That is HelloFresh delivering. We're gonna pause for a moment. Okay, and we're back, and HelloFresh is in the refrigerator, ready for this week.
Perfect. You don't have to worry about dinner.
I don't. I'm excited because when it sounds like another ad, but I do. I get excited because I get to make my own very fancy feeling meal.
Yeah.
You know, it's way fancier than popping something in the microwave, warm it up.
Yes.
Yes, I feel very fancy.
So I was telling you about Bermuda and how well-dressed everyone was.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't like, how can you be well-dressed when you're in a tropical climate?
Well, everybody just had nice clothes. And I mean, there's no poverty there. It's expensive like crazy. There's no fast food.
What?
There's no fast food.
Is it all HelloFresh?
No, but it's all like a $30 entree. But like the kids on the buses, they're all in their little prep school uniforms.
Oh, right.
And they are silent practically. And so we got on the bus, and this was fascinating to me. There was like a group of kids in blue uniforms, and they're all sitting there. And then they stop, and a bunch of kids in green uniforms get on. And there was all this like scuttling, and the kids in blue uniforms reshuffled and didn't want the kids in the green uniforms to sit by them. But it was almost silent. This whole like drama social thing was playing out in front of us, and it was like silent.
But were the kids just like, they were doing their kid thing, but
like, I don't want to sit by this kid from this green school.
But they
school.
Were being really, school rivalry thing.
Yeah.
They were just really well behaved about it.
And it was amazing. I was like, in the U.S., this would be so loud with all these kids, and the bus driver would be yelling at them, and it would be mayhem. They were just so nice and polite.
I wonder culturally how
the whole culture is super polite and just
because they
zen.
Live in paradise, right?
I guess. I don't know. It's so interesting.
Cool.
So we really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I would love to go back, but I mean, we were in the off season and it was expensive, so I can't imagine.
Did you not expect it to be
I knew
like
it was gonna be
$30 entrees?
I knew it was gonna be pricey, but still when you're actually there and a hamburger's $30.
And you have to eat 3 times a day, right?
Yeah. So anyway, it was beautiful. It was wonderful. And I loved that yarn shop that I visited.
So. Yes. Yes. And you got such a pretty picture. That was so smart of you to take a picture of the yarn on the beach. We'll post that picture in the show notes in case you missed it on the last episode.
I was like, I'm sure people are like, what is that lady doing?
Oh, yeah. When you were in Bermuda taking the picture, I'm sure they were like, that lady's crazy. Doesn't she realize that she has children she could be taking a picture of and she's taking a picture of yarn? Yeah. Wow. Well, but we all appreciate it because you did capture like the yarn and the beach and everything. It's very nice.
I was taking a picture of yarn the other day because I have a giveaway on my blog coming up that I forgot to tell you about.
Okay.
And so I'm in the yard taking pictures of yarn, and my husband walks by and he just gives me this look. I'm like, it's perfectly normal.
I know what
He's
I'm
like,
doing.
Yeah.
What is he going to look for if you start losing your mind?
I know.
Like, putting yarn on the lawn and taking a picture of it, that won't be it.
That's normal.
That's normal behavior. Well, if you have the, when is the...
I'll have it up this week on my blog.
The giveaway?
So I'll have it up by the time this episode airs. So it'll be on my blog on Casey Knits. It's alpaca yarn from Franna Biederman, who I met back in Taos.
Yeah.
She has now colors coming out. And so she sent me two skeins of yarn, and we're going to name an alpaca.
What?
So I'll
Can
have
I
all
win?
That. Maybe. It's really neat yarn. It's like I try to take a good picture of it so you can really see how it like mixes in the natural color with the colored dye. So.
Well, we'll link to it in the show notes.
Yeah.
We'll link to your giveaway in the show notes. And that sounds nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we can get into, now that we're past the missing last week and the Bermuda and the, we can maybe start to get into the knitting questions.
Yep. All right. Our first one's a follow-up. And she says, hi, ladies. I just listened to episode 85. I'm a little backlogged on my podcast. That's not so bad.
That's not so. We hear people are, I'm on episode 4.
Right. And I wanted to offer up some suggestions for start-itis. As a manager in a local yarn shop with daily access to amazing yarns and someone who gets easily bored in the middle of a project, my work in progress list is usually ranging from 18 to 25.
Okay. Let's
pause.
Pause for a moment. Because you are surprised by this number.
I am surprised by that number.
This is a massive number.
I have a massive number right now. I have like 8 things on. I just looked.
Okay.
8 or 9.
You have 8 or 9 things.
That's too many.
What if you worked in a yarn store like she does?
It would be terrible.
Would you have probably that number going to?
Yeah.
She says that she has daily access to amazing yarns and someone who has a problem with startitis, meaning that she gets bored with something and she just wants to start the next thing because that yarn is right there where she works. And,
yeah.
Okay, well.
And you see all the samples. I'm sure it's just terrible.
Yes. Okay, let's see what else she
has. I've tried everything to get myself motivated again in the middle of a sweater or on that second sock. What has worked best for me is looking on Instagram to see if that project has a hashtag and then seeing all the amazing photos of the finished pieces out in the world. I say to myself, hey, mine can look as good as that if I just finish it. The other option is to head back to Ravelry and poke around in the project's pages for that pattern. After all, that's most likely what got you excited to knit this in the first place. Love the podcast and keep up the great work. Sincerely, Mary Kate from Chicago, Illinois.
Okay, Mary Kate. So she's saying that looking at finished pictures of the project gets her excited to finish it so she doesn't start something new.
Yeah.
Except for she does start something.
she's on Ravelry and sees something else she wants to make.
You know, Mary Kate, she's happy. She's working in a yarn store. She's starting new projects.
Like I said, you're the boss.
Of your own knitting. But it's a good suggestion, Mary Kate.
Yeah.
Very good.
That's true. And I can see like that motivating you just to get it done.
Yeah.
So, okay. Next question. Well, this is a question. Hello, ladies. I'm a faithful weekly listener of your podcast and really enjoy hearing your solutions to our knitting conundrums. One issue that would be repeated by listeners is the issue of wool or alpaca project stretching. I've come across a product that claims to be the solution to that problem. It's called Unshrink It. Here, we put the link in the show notes. I haven't tried it myself, but I thought I'd pass it along. By way of a question, where do you start in the process of designing a project? I have a hat that I have in mind and a shawl, but I have no clue where to start. I consider myself an intermediate knitter and familiar with both types of projects and different styles. I've tried to do some research on the web, but I can't find anything useful. Is designing just for professional knitters, or can someone like me tackle it? How would you go about the process of designing a project of your own? Thank you and Casey for all your hard work.
Okay. We don't have a name on this one.
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. Mystery.
Mystery
questioner. Okay. She's saying that there is a product called Unshrink It. I don't know how something could possibly unfelt.
Yeah.
But, well, oh no, it's for stretching.
For stretching.
Not shrinking, really. Okay. I haven't looked at the product yet, but we will put the link in the show notes if you want to check that out, see what it's all about. And her question is, how do you go about designing a project? And I'll give you a quick rundown of what needs to happen. Like, the first thing you have to do is have the idea of what it looks like, maybe do a sketch. I'm terrible at sketching, but the sketching is kind of important. So you get the different features you've been thinking about kind of all on paper, so you don't forget as you start going down the road of designing where things get very, very, very specific. You want to have a picture of what the big picture is in your mind. And then from there, you have to pick the yarn, pick the needles, and swatch so that you can start doing the math.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, there is a new edition of the Vogue knitting book. And The Ultimate Vogue knitting book. I don't have it in front of me right now. And I'm going to talk about it in a video sometime in the next few weeks. But they have an excellent section in there on designing your own sweater.
Mm.
I'll link to the book in the show notes. And people ask me all the time, can you do a video series on designing your own sweater? And I've just never done it because it will end up creating more questions than answers. And I will end up spending all of my time answering questions right. just because there are too many variables in a sweater, right? But that book is actually really good about designing a sweater. But as far as anything else goes, you know, like a hat or a scarf or whatever, you get the big picture down, you swatch, and then you start to do the math to get it the size and everything else you want. That is like a big overview of how you start something.
I just found a book at Half Price Books that's called Knits That Fit or something like that. I can look it up. But it helps you kind of adjust other patterns to make it fit, and it shows you how to really measure yourself very well. It's an interesting...
You actually did a podcast episode about measuring yourself.
Yeah, but it also, you know, like how to adjust a pattern to measure to fit you very well. But then it also kind of has the basics of how to start designing.
Okay, I wonder, you got it at Half Price Books. It's probably still available though.
Like, yeah.
Okay, we'll link to it. Oh my gosh, we don't have so many links in this
I know. Okay, hello, Stacey and Casey. I love your podcast. Even my husband doesn't complain any longer when I listen to it in bed. Hey, why listen to a podcast with earplugs when everyone in the room can benefit of yarn and knitting advice? I still have hope that one day he would like to learn. He may become a knitter walker instead of a sleepwalker if I continue to listen to your podcast while he sleeps beside me. That would be super productive. Okay, enough of my ranting. So here's my question. What would you consider your biggest knitting mistake? What had you to learn the hard way? Can you tell us? I know that Stacy's not a project knitter, so maybe she finds mistakes to be cool as well, as any good process knitter must be, I guess. But I'm curious. Thanks for sharing your passion with us, Catherine from Brossard, Quebec.
Okay. Another Canadian question, because they don't work or do anything. They just listen to podcasts and knit and send questions in Canada.
They're cold a lot. They've got a lot of knitting, too.
We appreciate our Canadian listeners because we wouldn't have a show. Do you have an answer to this question, your biggest knitting mistake?
I think one of my first ones, I made this mohair sweater. It was like a mohair blend, and it was when I really was sort of a new knitter, and it's just, and I think I didn't measure gauge properly, or I did, and just the way the yarn itself, it's stretched, it's so huge. I love it. Like, the actual design of the sweater is awesome, and I still sometimes will wear it and just roll up the sleeves, but it's huge.
I have a really similar story, and this is maybe 12 years ago. I was knitting a sweater for my then husband, now ex-husband, and I made him a sweater, really cool pattern. The thing I neglected to do was notice that it was superwash yarn, and so my gauge swatch, I don't know what I did, but the whole thing, the sleeves ended up being, after I washed and blocked it, the sleeves were ridiculously long, totally a gorilla sweater, and just because it stretched out so much in the length because of the superwash yarn. That has to be my biggest mistake, but I'll tell you, probably worth it because 12 years later, I always know exactly the fiber in my yarn that I'm knitting. I know exactly how to care for it. And I never, ever miss completely washing and blocking, not just steam blocking, but completely washing and blocking to see what that yarn's going to do.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Lesson learned.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure I've made other mistakes along the way, but that's the big one that sticks out. And when I first really, really, really first started knitting, actually I was crocheting. I was making this scarf and I couldn't keep my stitch count. And so the scarf like is like a bell bottom.
That happens
shape.
All the people ask me for advice all the time. This was crochet you're talking about. But the same thing in knitting, and or the thing that happens in knitting more often is that it grows.
Yeah.
And so I have a video called Accidental Increases that I send new knitters to when they send me that question. And 9 times out of 10, they get back to me and say, yep, I figured out, because I show like different examples of how that might happen. But new knitters, new crocheters have a tough time like keeping the stitch count right. And then when you get to be like a knitter after a few years, it's like, it's no biggie to count 200 stitches anymore. Oh, it's a complete pain in the butt to count 30 stitches when you're new, but 300, it's like, this is the way it goes.
Just do some markers.
We have time for one more question.
Yeah. Okay. Aloha, knitting sisters.
Oh, that's nice.
This email is about I-cords. First of all, what is an I-cord? Why is it called an I-cord? What does the I stand for? How does one knit an I-cord? Are there variations of the I-cord? Thanks in advance, Kim from Oahu.
Hawaii. Hi, Kim. Well, we can rattle some of these off pretty quickly. An I-cord is a little rounded edge on your knitting, or just a cord that you can use for different things all over the place with knitting. And we can actually link to my I-cord videos in the show notes, because the show notes are a mile and a half long now. We might as well just keep linking. Yeah. The I actually stands for idiot. As far as I know, this is an Elizabeth Zimmerman thing. This might just be legend or something, but as far as I know, she called it idiot cord and shortened it to I cord.
Yeah.
And the way it's knit is you have just a few stitches on the needle, and you can see this better in the video. I'll just give you an overview. You have a few stitches on a double-pointed needle. You knit them, and then instead of turning the work, you slide them back to the other end of the needle and knit them again. And that makes the knitting kind of fold in on itself. So you get a cord that is essentially stockinette stitches any way you look at it, all the way around
like
on the
tube.
Cord. A tube, exactly. Mm-hmm. A very tiny tube. Are there variations of the I cord? There might be with like different stitches. As far as I know, there's just like a cord that's there all by itself. A cord that is actually knit on an edge as you work the piece, and then an applied I cord that is put on with picked up stitches after the piece is finished knitting. Mm-hmm. Can you think of any other variations?
No. Nope. I just recently did an I cord, knit on I cord. I'd never done that before.
Did you know there are little I cord machines?
Yeah.
The little crank machines. Mm-hmm. And it's like, did you ever use one of those spool things as a kid?
Mm-hmm.
Like a sewing thread spool with the nails in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that made an I-cord. We didn't know we were making I-cord back then.
Yeah.
It probably wasn't called I-cord back then.
Elizabeth Zimmerman didn't call it that.
She actually, that was around the same time that she had her show on PBS, though.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe. I don't know. Anyway, that is all we have for today. I'm about to start coughing again, so we should probably wrap it up. Casey, if people want to find you online.
My website is kcknits.com. That's the letter K and the letter C.
Okay. And all your social media buttons are there, and your exciting travel pictures and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to find me online, there is, of course, the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel and verypink.com. And if you go to the bottom of verypink.com, all of my social media buttons are there, including a place to sign up for our quarterly newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we now?
December, we just did one in March.
April, May. So June is the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have to keep reminding each other. Okay, that is all we have for this week. So until next week, stay warm, my friends.